Hello and welcome. It's our number one of the Ben Maller Show. It's a baseball hour as the Dodgers are in the driver's seat to win the World Series. But not all is right in Dodgerland. We take a look at the latest Dodger victory and why that should have been the closeout game. Still can't get over what happened on Saturday to Kenley Jansen, but with a deep dive on the Fall Classic as the Dodgers can smell that first World Series title since 1988, a win away. We get to that and more here in our number one, starting a new week. Here it is. Closing in on a championship. Welcome in the beginning of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond as we bloviate on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network, emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios. And we begin not with the NFL. It takes a very special event to trump the NFL, and that would be the World Series. It was on Fox. Did you watch? From deep in the heart of Texas, as the neutral site World Series continues, it did continue on Sunday night. I don't know if you saw it or not, maybe not. Clayton Kershaw tiptoeing around landmines, but he did go 5 2/3 innings. He allowed a total of 2 runs, although it seemed like more than that. Max Muncy and Jock Peterson each hit home runs, and the good guys, the Dodgers, picking up the win over the Rays in Game 5 of the World Series. And so if you have not been keeping track, and maybe you have not, you should know that the Dodgers now have a 3-2 lead. They are one win away from ending the highlight reel of Kurt Gibson in the 1988 Dodgers with Oral Hershiser and all those guys. One more win. They are off on Monday. They have a travel day, even though there's no travel, and they'll be back at it on Tuesday night, which could be the final night of the truncated Major League Baseball season. Now, a lot of reaction has been coming in here, but let's discuss the general spot we're in here at the World Series after 5 games of the Fall Classic. Where are you at? So I've got the Boogeyman, Mythbusters, and DNA. And we will tie all these things together. We're going to keep it simple. It's sports radio. It's not that hard. So my position on the Dodgers is this. They should already have been celebrating a championship. They should have had the bubble bath of bubbly. The champagne in the air everywhere and all that. I still can't get past that game on Saturday. Now, I'm glad they won on Sunday, and I'm happy they played a pretty good game on Sunday, but the Dodgers blew the game on Saturday night. They had it in their back pocket. It was theirs in their back pocket, and this has been a staple of this run where in these big series, there's usually 1 game or 2 games where they just puke all over the field and give up a game that they have in their possession. And they absolutely did do that. Do not believe the bullcrap that's coming out of some of the baseball media about, you know, Tampa Bay coming back and all this. No. Listen, they gave that game away, Game 4 of the World Series on Saturday. Dave Roberts got cute. We had advised Dave Roberts behind these microphones of Fox Sports Radio, stay away from the highly flammable Kenley Jansen. What did Dave Roberts do? He bathed in the highly flammable Kenley Jansen. How did that turn out? Don't ask. Fortunately, in this game on Sunday, Kenley Jansen did not sniff the field. There was an array of Dodger relievers that closed it out, and the Dodgers avoid a total fiasco, and the Boogeyman is still lurking. Like, this does not end the Boogeyman. The Boogeyman is still there, but further away. A little further away, not lurking as close as if the Dodgers had gagged the game in Game 5 and been trailing 3-2 going into Game 6 on Tuesday. I still don't have full trust that they will close it out on Tuesday. The Dodgers are going to have to now win a 5th game to take home this World Series. I counted the game on Saturday as a win because it should have been a win. So they've already won three games. They gave that game up. So now they're going to have to win a fifth game in the World Series. The Dodgers are throwing out Tony Gonsolin in game number six, although it appears to be another one of these bullpen-type games where they're going to be rotating pitchers in and out of game six of the World Series. And then the Rays will counter with Twitch star Blake Snell. Bro, I'm risking my life! Yeah, he'll be out there in game six. And then if the Rays were to win that game, game seven would be Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler, game seven, versus cheating Astro Charlie Morton. And that would be the matchup in an epic game seven. Dodgers already charbroiled Charlie Morton one time. Do they want to play with that fire again in a game seven? Now, the second thing here, if you look at the micro and the macro, there's a couple of things that have annoyed me. And since this is my therapy, I would like to address some of them right now. The one thing that pops up right in my head is that the latest developments in the World Series, the plot twist, if you will, has shown and really been vindicating for me that there is no such thing as Uncle Mo. Momentum! In spite of all the dum-dums on television who continue to repeat the gibberish, oh, the Rays have all the momentum. They won the game on Saturday. Oh, my God. The Dodgers are in trouble. Oh, my God. Sound the alarm. It was crap. There's no such thing, right? There's no such thing as momentum in sports. In spite of all the idiots who say this stuff, they sound like donkeys. Following that train of thought, the Rays, if you believe the gods of momentum, Uncle Mo, the Rays should have come out like gangbusters. They should have won the game on Sunday. After all, they had all the momentum from Kenley Jansen puking on that walk-off win in game number four. That's what the media told us. The media lied to us. It turns out the Dodgers deflated that narrative by scoring early and playing with the lead. Momentum is simply an after-the-fact explanation for the outcome of the game. Just for example, the Dodgers winning on Sunday, they don't have all the momentum if Gonsolin goes out there and drops a deuce on the mound on Tuesday. There's no momentum. It's just a synonym for saying a team is playing well after the fact, right? So, well, they have all the momentum because they scored a couple runs or they got a big strikeout. Bull crap is what it is, and it keeps getting repeated over and over and over again. And another pet peeve of mine. There are many baseball scribes and some talking heads on television who feel like it's their birthright now to defend the honor of Clayton Kershaw, that Clayton Kershaw is killing all of these demons from years gone by. And I keep reading stories, and I keep seeing people on television and different media platforms saying this kind of stuff, that everything's rainbows and puppy dogs. And if the Dodgers win the World Series, that ends all of it. And I would like to play the role of Mythbuster, because I think we need the Mythbusters here. Clayton Kershaw, who has had a storied regular season career, and we hope that the Dodgers win the World Series, and we don't think Kershaw will pitch again, although maybe in a Game 7, if it got to that, they'd bring him in out of the bullpen, God forbid. Even though the Dodgers are likely to win, they should win the World Series this year. That does not change the fortunes of Clayton Kershaw and suddenly turn him into a reliable postseason performer. It does not. This run does not erase all of those abject failures of the past. And yeah, he'll kill some demons, great. But Kershaw, PTSD, is a very real condition. Many a Dodger supporter who have watched the bedwetting, the teeth grinding, and the panic will back me up on that. All right, last thing here. So the Dodgers, who have been the dominant team in the World Series so far, even though they have not yet won the World Series because they gave a game away, the margins are thin. So many of you have asked, what about the Mahler scale of panic? 1 to 10. We're not putting it away. We're not putting the Mahler scale of panic away. But as we head into a Tuesday night, in a game six, a closeout game for the Dodgers, Mahler scale of panic, 1 to 10, with 10 being nuclear destruction, I'm at a 3. I can't go lower than a 3 on the Mahler scale of panic. Cannot do it. No lower than three. Because, as we have said and will continue to say, the DNA of this particular group has been it's an unmitigated disaster. Baseball Armageddon. Now, we have reasons for optimism, and so I can't go higher than three or lower than three on the Mahler scale of panic. And there's a huge chasm between the Dodgers and the Rays. The fact that Tampa Bay was able to get to the World Series and dominate the American League, it's the Frankenstein style of baseball that they play, and it's a testament to that. But straight mano a mano, talent to talent, face to face, belly to belly, and all of that, they don't match up. The Rays have a pesky team, which is a nice way of saying not as talented. They have players that can be an inconvenience to the opposing pitcher, but they're essentially playing patty cake while the Dodgers bring out the heavy artillery. And yet, it's still a case where the Rays have a shot of winning, playing patty cake, holding a butter knife, and they still have an opportunity to win the final two games and win the World Series. Now, the one guy that we have been saying, do not let this guy beat you. Do not let this guy beat you. Well, it's not exactly beating you because you're ahead in the series, but you're not exactly getting him out. Randy Arozarena, who continues to monster mash for the Rays. Now, he did not get off to a great start in the World Series. I think it was one out of his first nine plate appearances. And ever since then, he's been getting it done at a rapid rate. But context doesn't matter. The Dodgers, it seems like they're in good shape, and they have been leading. I saw the stat from one of the nerds sent this out. The Dodgers have been ahead after 25 of the last 27 innings in the World Series. They have had the lead here. And so that's obviously an encouraging thing. But until you get that final nail in the coffin, then we will continue to have some angst. All right, here's Dave Roberts, who talked about the importance of a game number five. I can't believe he thinks it was an important game.
Going into this one 2-2 to get a win was huge, any way we could get it. And started with Clayton and Austin tonight. They both did a great job getting a lead early. The Corey base hit to start us off was huge. Tack on some runs. And, you know, the guys in the bullpen, it was just fun to watch tonight. Watching Dustin, Victor, and Blake, it just really came up big tonight.
Yeah. Really came up big. All right, just forget about what happened on Saturday. Here's more from Dave Roberts, who is now licking the toes of Clayton Kershaw.
This has been 5 years, so we've been through a lot together. And I trust him. I know he trusts me. And we just have good conversations and just honest, you know, how he's feeling. So right there, I thought he pitched a heck of a game. And, you know, to go out there and get two more hitters, we felt that that would be good enough. And, you know, at that point in time, once he did that, I felt it was time to take the baseball. And I think he felt good about it.
Yeah. Yet again, Roberts juggling hand grenades with the bullpen. Now, they got away with it. And so everyone will say, rah, rah. He pressed all the right buttons. All the right buttons. All right, here's more from the Dodgers winning side. Max Muncy stepping up. He had a dinger for the Dodgers there. And he says, if you think the Dodgers were living in the past, they are not living in the past.
None of us were thinking about last night. Yeah, we may have laid a dud, but we showed up today, and you know, last night never happened to us. We were worried about today, worried about the first pitch, worried about what we were going to do to Glasnow, and everyone went out there and executed their plan like they were supposed to.
Well, the ugly truth is you can say you're not worried about the night before, but if that hadn't happened, if you'd won the game, you'd be celebrating a championship right now. Stop! All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to talk about any of that, you certainly can hear. The lines are open at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can send us a message there as well. So it's time to get out the IV bag. It's time to get out the IV bag. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you. Following the voice of this show on Twitter, he's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. My first thought was that Drake just had an orgasm. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Alf, the alien opiner, and in many respects, the last of the Muppet Militia, with that hostile takeover earlier in 2020 when Ernie, the great opiner, was savagely attacked by a bunch of Muppet parody attacks, parody accounts, rather, and I believe Alf is like the last of the Mohegans. He says, hey, great monologue, you're absolutely right. The Dodgers need to come out Tuesday night and throw the hammer down early. Deliver the knockout punch. Damn right. The burner account writes and says, good job by you, Benjamin, on the monologue. But regardless, if the Dodgers win or lose this series, Dave Roberts needs to go. Too many mindless and questionable moves that he keeps making.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
A-minus, yeah. And I'll be very clear here and transparent. I want the Dodgers to win. I hope the Dodgers will win. I don't know that they're going to win. But even if they do win, I would have no problem with Dave Roberts going back to San Diego and saying, that's it, I won the World Series, I'm done. And with Clayton Kershaw staying in Texas and pitching for the Rangers. I would have no problem with either one of those two things or both of those things happening. In fact, I would fully embrace all of the above. Chris in Houston writes and says, hey, Maller, what's wrong? It sounds like you're worried about the Dodgers choking another golden opportunity away. Oh, my bad. Isn't that where Dave Roberts loved him in that spot? Well, Chris, the good news is we do not have any reason to believe that the Tampa Bay Rays are cheating. Bang, bang! Like a certain team that the Dodgers played in the 2017 World Series. I forget their names, but they might have banged on trash cans and used buzzers. Cheat 2017 World Series. Just want to point that out. We will take your phone calls at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We start out with the Holy Roller, who is up first here on Fox Sports Radio. Hello, Holy Roller.
Aloha, Ben from Waikiki. Hey, everybody, we're open. Just get your test. You don't have to quarantine. I love it. You know, I don't love the laundry of the Dodgers, right? But what a great team after the last 7-8 years. I think they deserve it. They're going to win. But this is the problem that I have with the Big Blue is the last time he won was 1988. Now you're going to win 2020. We ain't there yet. I'm hoping I'm not jinxing you. But it's shortened seasons. You can't win a real championship there in L.A., bro. What's up with that? Come on, Ben.
Well, do they give out a different trophy if it's a shortened season, Holy Roller? I think they give out the same little piece of metal, right? The same little piece of metal. I believe they still give that out, yes?
Yeah, well, Rob Manfred, you know, he can go, you know, let himself. You know, it's a great tournament. It's beautiful. The Dodgers are great. And you know what? I hope you finally get it, but win a real one, 162 games. Come on.
Let me tell you something. Hold on a sec. I know you're a giant apologist and all that. I know you're a giant. Shocking that a guy that loves the San Francisco Gigantes cannot support the Dodgers winning the World Series. I find that hard to believe, Holy Roller. It's stunning that you have fond memories of Mad Bum and the Giants, and now you're a little disgusted by the Dodgers. You're going to try to nitpick at this and all that.
That's great, though. The Bay Stadium pisses me off.
Yeah. By the way, the only ones that remember like the 81 Dodgers season when they won the World Series and all that are people like yourself, Gigante fans. Like, you know, 10 years from now, I wasn't going to remember there was a 60-game season or anything like that. They won the World Series. Over time, people forget about that other stuff, and they just think about who won, and that's it. They don't even think about who they played in the World Series.
Ben, I love you guys and everybody. Right. The water's 82 degrees here. Come to Honolulu and have
all
some
right.
fun.
All right, I'll start swimming. That way I don't have to. Thank you. There you go. It's like the Chamber of Commerce from Hawaii, the Holy Roller. Come one, come all, mahalo. Now, I got to go back to the game on. I can't get past the game on. I know that the Dodgers won. Now they're a win away from the World Series. But this nobody, this absolute nobody, Brett Phillips. Right, this guy ends up in the situation in the ninth inning. He's a career 202 hitter, and he's at home plate. And the Dodgers, now there were a couple of errors on the play, but still, the game would have been tied just on the Brett Phillips hit alone. He had the single. Dodgers booted the ball around like the Bad News Bears there, and that was the walk-off win for Tampa Bay in Game 4 of the World Series. So the story going around after the game that apparently Phillips was so verklempt by everything that happened there that he had a migraine, a massive pounding migraine, according to the scribes that were describing what had happened after the win. And he needed an IV, according to the report. He needed an IV. His heart rate was 140 beats per minute after the game. And they went over the top, boy. They went over the top. He needed a towel over his eyes because he was so messed up there, and he was dehydrated from all the excitement. He stayed up until 4 in the morning. How about us? We stay up till 4 in the morning and then some every single night on this show. Where's our story? Where's our IVs? He had to answer 500 text messages, they said. 500. I don't even know 500 people to send me a text message. Do you think there were 500 people that sent him a text message? I find that hard to believe. I don't even think 500 people have my number. I don't think I've given out my number to 500 people over the years. But they went full over the top. This guy, a pinch runner. Oh, and he'll be forgotten too as long as the Dodgers win. If the Dodgers were to lose, then he'll be propped up as the greatest thing in the world and blah, 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 blah. It'll never end. It'll never end. Hold on. The count is checked in. Count says, we are still here. If Who? That douche Ernie reappears, we'll run that turd out of town. So the Muppet Militia is alive. They're in hiding just in case Ernie comes back. Just in case they come back. Or Ernie comes back. Double O Mexican writes and says, great monologue, Ben. With this group of Dodgers, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. If the Dodgers lose this series, they will be baseball's version of the Falcons. Supermarket Steve writes and he says, I almost wish the Dodgers had lost the game last night as well, so I could have gotten a real hardcore Maller monologue. Was that not hardcore enough, Supermarket Steve? Listen, the Dodgers won. I'm still upset about Saturday. What do we even do here? I'm still bitter about Saturday. Even though they won the game on Sunday, I'm still pissed off about the game they lost on Saturday. So, and I got to read stories about guys on the Rays getting an IV because they had a headache after the game because they had the big hit. Oh, my God.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, we will have later on, if you're with us for the full journey, got Maller to the Third Degree next hour. The Insta Advice Line will be coming up in hour number 3, and we got coach, player, entertainer, possibly. We haven't been doing that very often, but we might have that in the fourth and final hour, talking about the World Series, at least at the beginning here. But any of the NFL is also open for business here as the NFL weekend winding down. There's one game left in week 7, the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams in the Monday night game, and then that's it, and we will head into week 8 upcoming. Obviously, that's what follows the week 7 card, and the early television window on Sunday was exciting. We saw the Lions win a game on the final play with zeros on the board. They came back thanks to Todd Gurley's generosity of scoring a touchdown when he could have not scored a touchdown and would have wrapped up the game, because they conceiving the theory was they would have kicked a field goal, they being the Falcons, and then they would have been able to wind the clock down so the Lions would not have had an opportunity to come back. We had a shootout between Cleveland and Cincinnati, and the Cleveland Browns, by the skin on their chinny chin chin, get the win in that game. The Packers kicked the snot out of the Houston Texans. That's always great when a Houston team gets embarrassed the way the Texans did by Green Bay. And New Orleans won, but they did not cover the number. So if you bet on Carolina getting over a touchdown in a divisional game, we gave that out on Benny versus the Penny on Friday night. That turned out to be a winner. And the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game, we're going to do a rant about that coming up in a little bit. Also, the Dallas-Washington game, worthy of a rant. And how about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicking the snot out of the nostrils of the Las Vegas Raiders? Tough day for Roberto there and his Raiders, our engineer.
The Raiders.
As the Buccaneers came out and just gobsmacked the Raiders, put up 454 yards of offense, and Tom Brady, woo, he's making me look like a bit of dum-dum, Brady there, as he had four touchdowns, 369 yards passing, and could have had another like 70 yards. I mean, it was not a lot of defense being played by the Raiders. I knew I was in trouble, though, when I saw the headline that John Gruden was livid because he wanted this game moved to Monday or Tuesday because of all the COVID drama around the Raiders. When I saw that headline, and if we believe it to be true, and we do, that Gruden was really upset, that mindset of the Raiders going into the game, rather than, hey, this is adversity, we'll embrace it, we'll attack it, oh, the woe is me, we shouldn't have to play this game. They played like a team that didn't want to play the game, losing by 25 points to the Buccaneers. And now Tampa, 5-2. And when you start looking around the NFC, and you see, and I'm gonna do a mini monologue on the Arizona-Seattle game because you guys are demanding it, but neither one of those teams, the Cardinals or the Seahawks, is a legitimate threat in the NFC. They have no defense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers do have some defense, and it's looking better and better for Tampa Bay. At this moment, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, they got a little bit of defense going on in Green Bay. Certainly anybody compared to what the Seahawks and Cardinals have, they got nothing. They got bupkis on defense. So you start looking ahead, and we're getting towards the midway point almost of the NFL season, and you're like, you're seeing a little bit of separation. And the trade deadline's lurking. And how do you improve? How do you, can you get a single player or two players at the trade deadline that will patch some of the holes? Because right now it looks like you've got some cracks in the concrete and you're just putting paper down, trying to cover the cracks, and it's not working. It is not working at all. All right, Oscar writes in, he says, Ben, that Phillips guy needed an IV after the game. That's an overreaction by him. Maybe he could have borrowed Paul Pierce's wheelchair to wheel him back to the hotel. That's a good point. It's out of that same playbook, right? Isn't that the same playbook, like the over-the-top dramatic playbook?
Thing you forgot to mention, Ben, about that game.
What did I forget?
About tonight's game.
Game five?
Yeah. Thanks to Manuel Margot for being a moron. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Well, he was out at third base anyway.
What's that?
He was out at third base.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
But what a moron.
No, I'm glad. But that's Tampa. See, that's the great thing. The Rays can do anything. The Rays, this is the thing that annoys me about Tampa Bay, too. They can literally do anything, and everyone in the baseball means, oh, I can't believe it. That's such a smart baseball play. They've reinvented the game of baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays. It was a terrible play.
Yeah, it's a terrible play, man.
It was ridiculous. But they can do literally anything. They can do anything they want, and you know, the baseball media contingent's like, oh, yeah, they're so smart. They're smarter than everyone else. They've got it all figured out. Another one of those stories that I saw over the weekend where I was like, what is this crap? And the story was essentially the Tampa Bay Rays have unlocked the future of baseball goes through Tampa Bay with all these pitching changes and all that. And
Right.
Really? So the whole plan for every team in baseball now is to copy. You got a copycat, the Tampa Bay Rays? I want to go puke. I want to puke. I mean, please. The Tampa Bay Rays starting pitching was terrible. That's why they had to use all those relief pitchers and all that. They get these guys off the scrap heap and all that. And come on. That is not the way. We need the Dodgers. Baseball needs the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers do some of that bull crap, which I'm annoyed by, but they don't do as much of it as Tampa Bay. And the whole bullpen games and the World Series and all that is disgusting. We saw that earlier. We ranted about it. And I think we're going to see another bullpen game by the Dodgers on Tuesday night with Gonsolin, which I don't like. But this idea that Tampa Bay has figured it all out and this is how you're going to have to play. No, they play like that because they cannot afford plum starting pitching. If you have good starting pitching, you don't need to use your bullpen the way the Rays use their bullpen and deploy those guys. So, I mean, and if I hear one more, oh my God, Diego Castillo's coming in the sixth inning. I can't believe this. I mean, right? You with me on that, Roberto? Come on.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's dumb.
All right. And I have not been impressed. Have you been impressed with the Rays bullpen? I have not. I mean, Dodgers had good
at
bats.
No, the best guy they have there is their closer, Castillo. Pretty much the Dodgers have been able to hit him, but they've seen him twice already. They've seen him twice. So the more and more they get to see these guys, they're going to hit him.
And they've scored. The game they lost on Saturday.
And they scored a ton of runs against bullpen.
I think they scored 5 runs against the Rays bullpen. I mean, it was
and
a
the Yankees
conga
hit a ton of home runs against the Rays bullpen also, and the Astros.
No, but they're reinventing the game of baseball. They've unlocked the future of pitching.
No. It's so dumb. So,
yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's see. Who do we have here? Let's go to Brown, who's in Boston. What's going on, Brown?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Brown, welcome. If I was any better, I'd be a Patriot, but not a New England Patriot because, my God, that was a debacle.
I'm on Tampa Bay following up. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, you know what? If I was the Yankees, the Red Sox, whatever, you know who I would sign is that third baseman of the Dodgers, Justin Turner. Every time I see that guy come up, he comes through. Like you say, what can Brown do for you? What can Turner do for you? That guy is just, he just kicks butt.
Well, he's got ginger power, and he's played well, and you can have him. He's a free agent. I think there's very little chance he comes back to the Dodgers unless he signs like a one-year deal or something like that. But
yes? I'll just say this. I got my fingers crossed, my toes crossed. I want the Dodgers to win. Forget Mookie. I want, because Justin Turner kicks butt. I'll let you go because
all right,
my phone's ready to die. Right, you have a great show. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. What about me, Brown? What about me? You've been calling me for a long time. Don't you want me to be a happy guy, have a happy fan night? No? I guess not. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. As we press on, we will continue taking your calls. There is no MLB pick'em. There's no World Series game on Monday night, so we will have some time to take some calls. Here's the Who Am I game. Corey Seager has 19 runs batted in this postseason for the Dodgers. That is tied for the second highest RBI total in a single postseason. And if you look at the all-time record, he is trailing me. I'm the only player that has had more runs batted in a single postseason than Corey Seager. Who am I? That is the question. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
If you're a regular listener, you know the Ben Maller Show is unconventional sports talk. We dabble in the outlandish and bond with the freaks and geeks. Facebook's a digital playground for all of us. You can chat with other P1 friends of the show. It's painless, and you can cancel anytime. Just like our page, go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here is your Who Am I game. Corey Seager, he's got 19 runs batted in this postseason run for the Dodgers. That is tied for the second highest single total in 1 year behind my all-time record. Who am I? That is the question. Eric says it is Justin Turner's groupie Brown in Boston. John Olerud, guessed by Jake in Toledo. Jack LaLanne from Roger. Mickey Hatcher, tossed out by Rich. Amos Otis from Dave, the Predator fan. Will in Pennsylvania is going with Roberto Flores as his answer. Sly says it's Hurricane Peter McNeely. Barry Bonds from Oscar the Poor Opiner. Jonathan in Delaware got this one right. So did a number of others. Manic Mike Eek from Roseville, Minnesota. Also, Adam got it correct. Rick Roden, guessed by Tortilla Man Tony, the Aussie guy. Even the Aussie guy cheated and got this. Joe in San Antonio went with Carlos Delgado as his answer. Tricky Dicky from the Dick Pohl account. That's his answer. Delino DeShields from Rob in Minnesota, the Cape Cod paperboy. He got it right. Kurt Bavakwa. Bavakwa, he couldn't hit water if he fell off a bleeping boat. That's from 00. Double O Mexican. Your sports source says, is it Lizzo's personal trainer? Miguel on Fire going with Juan Samuel as the correct answer. Do you have the answer over there? Do you have the answer there, please?
Oh, I'm sure I do. I believe it's Brad Fulmer.
Oh, Brad Fulmer. There's a name from the past. No. The correct answer, Mr. Freeze, David Freeze of the St. Louis Cardinals in 2011. He had 21 runs batted in. Right now, Corey Seager is tied with Sandy Alomar Jr., Scott Spezio, and David Ortiz for second place. So he needs one more RBI, Seager, and he'll have second place to himself. Three more RBIs, he'll have the all-time record all to himself. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's say hello to Kevin in New York. He's cashing a golden ticket, and he's up next. Hello, Kevin.
Oh, love the show, guys. Love the show, guys.
Thank you. What's going on?
I called back months ago during the football offseason, and I said that Jerry Jones should have hired Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, to be his head coach. He didn't go with my advice, and I don't think that's working out too well for him. And I actually have a good idea to fix the New York Giants and New York Jets. Hopefully they're listening.
Yeah, what's that?
If New York Giants should trade basically 10, 15 of their only good players to the Jets for basically the next 3 years of the Jets draft. You can count on the Jets to screw up even if they get another 15 players that can play. They're decent.
Well, how about this, Kevin? I had an idea the other day. If you combine the Giants and the Jets together, how many wins? If you put both rosters together, the best players on the Jets, the plus players on the Jets, would they win 8 games? I say no.
If they were in the NFC East, not maybe in the AFC East.
No, I don't think it matters, though. I think there are so many bad players on the Giants. We'll leave it there, Kim. But there's so many bad players on the Giants and the Jets. Remember, back in World War II, I believe it was, they combined the Eagles and the Steelers, made the Steagles, made two teams into one. If you did that with the Giants and the Jets, they're so inept, they're so incompetent, they still would blow. It's an amazing thing. It really is.